I think of Jack tonight as our SOS speaker, sagacious, observant, and spicy, as I recall. Let's hear it for Jack.
I want to thank you very much. I know what the hell you said, but it was great. I have an old hairpiece at home, and you can use it. Good evening, you all. Is this all? You put me on cold. You don't read your steps. You don't do any of the regular stuff. As you've heard many times, some are sicker than others. What are you laughing at? You got one for a leader.
I can come up with at the moment.
I think that it is.
Well, I think now, again, we return to the extremely important part of our little gathering this evening. And, Jack, am I okay now?
Introduce me.
Okay. I give you Jack B. from Hollywood.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a loosely knit organization. And we loosely knitted it tonight, didn't we? That's wonderful. My name is Jack Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, if you're from the press. I'm an alcoholic and I have 5,000 pictures in the car. Very humble. You knew my name when I was a drunk. Now put it in the paper when I'm sober. Well, it's, what the hell are you laughing at, Chuck? Wait till tomorrow. You're going to get it. Try and keep him awake, Elsa. It's wonderful to be here. They told me to be here at 6 o'clock. Guys, I've been out in that windblown patio. I'm sorry to say that I was late then because I had trouble with my hair. It wasn't that I couldn't fix it, I couldn't find it. I finally found it, had it here, and it blew off in the damn patio out there. But it really is an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure, and a hell of an inconvenience to be here. That's a long drive. I know I turned off the Pacific Coast Highway, and it said 42 more miles, and I just pulled over and cried. Get a booking in Glendale, you know. You don't have to go this far. But it really is a privilege. And I think that we have proven one of the great, great, not secrets, but one of the great things about Alcoholics Anonymous is the laughter here already. You never heard an Elks Club or a Rotary Club get as screwed up as this thing is. That's why there's so dull. But we keep trying, and somebody will get it right. That is wonderful. I noticed all the beautiful flowers here. We're in the land of the long hawk flower and bean place. What the hell were those beans? And they just fly right over you tonight here. A dinner up here tonight, you can go looking for dessert and leave you a donut for a quarter, for God's sake. It's a class operation they run. I'd like to have you welcome the Baptist choir up there in the choir loft. Nice. Flowers. Beautiful flowers. And it reminds me of a story that has very little to do with what we're doing tonight. Thank God there's some flowers so I can run it in. A friend of mine opened a new store out in the valley. And, you know, you send them bouquets. And I sent my friend that was opening a store a nice bouquet. And then I went out to the store opening, and I said, did you get my flowers? He said, yeah, what's funny about that? And I said, what do you mean, what's funny? And he said, well, look at them. There they are. And there was a big wreath. And a banner on it said, rest in peace. So I said, well, that's not right. This has been a terrible mistake. And I called the mortuary. And I called the florist, and I called another florist, and finally got the one that I'd ordered the flowers from, and he said, never mind the guy that's got the wreath out there. He said, I've been calling all the funeral parlors in town trying to find the wreath that says, may you find happiness in your new location. Started early tonight. I'm glad we did. And we'll get out early. I've already checked. Baskin and Robbins keep open till 10. And dessert's cheaper there than it is at the conference. And we'll all have a good time. I'm going to give you the hour and 45 minute speech in about 15 minutes. That's great. I love these conferences and these big gala, you know. It's not like a regular meeting. Regular meetings are beautiful, but there's a different kind of a spirit at a conference. You can kind of feel it. And it's a lot of fun. And I'm seriously very delighted and honored that you'd ask me. And I'll give the short speech next year, now that I know how the hell to get here. We are supposed to talk about booze sometime during the conference, so I might as well run in my sermon on Demon Rome. Tonight, I want you to pay strict attention, because I already spoke up in San Luis Obispo 15 years ago, and they're still drinking up there. Now, tonight, I'm going to stamp it out in this area, including light wines and beer. So you will please listen very carefully. Mr. Humble. Now, booze has been a problem. This will thrill you to know this. Booze has been a problem since before they wrote the Old Testament, whichever came first. What is God?
The old...
Thank you, sir.
There's always been a problem with drunkards, and that was the label they had. Drunkards. They threw stones at them, and they barred them from town, and they put them on a mule, and ran them out of town. And it's been a problem through history with booze and boozers, and they were labeled drunkards, outcasts. And about 5 years before 1940, whatever that is, or 50, sometime Alcoholics Anonymous was started. And that's the first time that anything has ever been remotely successful with drunkards. Now, one of the nice things they did was quit calling drunkards drunkards. They don't call them drunkards anymore. We're alcoholics. Now that's class. Drunkards, they over things. But you say, well, I'm an alcoholic. And they say, oh, the hell you are, and get away from me. They don't know for sure what that means. But now the art of the... How you doing? You're looking fine. There's no door back there. What are you laughing at? Come back anytime. Go get a half pint and have it over with. I've been in AA for quite a while. When I first got in, we were still classed as half drunkards. They weren't quite sure what alcoholics were when I got in, and like in a lot of your homes, if you've been in a long time, they hid you, put you in the basement. I know they pulled the drapes on me at our house so the neighbors couldn't see me, and that was terrible. I was walking around the house a lot, naked. Sometimes I wore a hat. But I walked around the house a lot, and there was an old maid lived next door to us. And I felt kind of sorry for her because she hadn't been married or anything. And when I was walking around the house with the drapes pulled, I'd see the old maid coming by walking her dog. And I figured she had her right to a little... So I'd walk over to the big drape and I'd open it and I'd just give her a little... laughing herself to death or something. She left. Comes an announcement. We ought to be out of here by noon tomorrow.
Just called, said there's a white Mercedes Benz, that's something the divers get, isn't it? Blocking a driveway. It's a California license number DIH 477. It's 410 South 8th Street, and the reason I I interrupted our good speaker here tonight, and she said that if you didn't get your DUWP down there in 5 minutes, they were going to tow her away. So whoever it is, go.
You want to try a wild shot for Christ's sake? I'll do the spiritual thing tomorrow. You come up here and do this. This is a marathon all over again. I wonder what I was saying. I gave the lady a peek, didn't I? You want to leave her out? She was nice. Yeah. Well, be happy, friends. No longer do we have to be the disgraced outcasts that we've been. Alcoholism is now the thing in the country. We have replaced cholesterol. But the Supreme Court of the United States handed down a decision that alcoholism in the United States was bad. That's it. We knew that, didn't we, friend? But that's the truth. The poor old Supreme Court worried about us now. And as soon as they handed that decision, I don't know who they hand decisions down to, but they're probably a little alcoholic. But I'm sure that they retired to the judge's quarters and got drunk. Said, we did a great thing for the country, didn't we, men? I'll have a double. Yeah. The President of the United States. I didn't read the paper today. He's still with us? Well, 2 years ago, the senior senator from Iowa. Not Howard, Harold. Hughes. There's a geographic that Howard Hughes. They can't ever find him. He's on a geographic that won't quit. Good for him. Anyway, the senior senator from Iowa got President Nixon on New Year's Eve about half stone 2 years ago. Two small drinks of cooking sherry. He can't even drink. And he signed a bill for $350 million to help alcoholism. That's it. Nobody knows where the bill is. It's a $350 million. But it's back there someplace, signed, gathering dust. Now, what in the name of time is the United States government going to do with $350 million to help a drunk? Maybe they're going to put us on pension. I'll take it. Then the Institute of Alcoholism, or the Alcoholic School of Alcoholism, alcohol, at Yale University went for $1 million and studied some alcoholics for a whole year. I don't know how you study an alcoholic for a year, but they did it. Got them drunk, sobered them up, got them drunk, dried them out, watched them, kept track of them. And it cost them $1 million, and at the end of the year, to the tune of $1 million, they came up with this. Alcoholism is a disease caused by drinking. So they're working on it, folks. One other thing that'll make you sleep better if you're a real alcoholic is a fact you should know. This is a cheapie. This only costs $16,000. But for $16,000, some organization found out that rats get drunker on bourbon than they do scotch. And I felt better when I heard that, you can bet. One of the greatest and fastest growing businesses in the United States is the selling of the 12th step. And they're doing a lot of that. Comes pretty high some of the places, and it don't work most of the places. So what I'm saying is millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, hundreds and thousands of dollars, there is nothing that has ever helped an alcoholic except where we are tonight and where meetings are all over the world. This is where it is. Alcoholics Anonymous. Joe, when they applaud, turn it up a little. Well, that's the damn truth, and it's so simple. And it can get so involved, and it's so unnecessary for it to get all that involved. An alcoholic has got an awful lot of problems when he's drunk. And an alcoholic has got an awful lot of problems when he's sober. An alcoholic is born with problems. And they'll get worse. But when an alcoholic is sober, he's got a little bit of ray of hope that he can do something about his problems. And he's got any number of companions who will discuss it with him. And he's got a place to go. And he's got someone up above that can really help. So we're the luckiest people in the world. I remember when I first got in, one of the greatest things that I heard of, that instead of all the rotten things I've been called, all the rotten things you've been called, all the rotten things that alcoholics and drunkards are called, were none of them true. We weren't weak-willed. We weren't no good. We weren't worthless. We were sick. Boy, I grabbed that fast. And if you're new, and your old lady's whirling on you, the old man's whirling on you for some crazy thing you did drunk, just hold up your hand and say, "Whoa! Don't cuss me. I'm sick." And that'll work for about 12 minutes. Now, this is a fact, not from AA, not from Alcoholics Anonymous, but this is a fact from the American medical profession, the AMA, that the three worst killers known to the medical profession are heart, cancer, and us. Really, we're as third sick as you can get. And you know it. It, Archie, you all know that if you can get third billing, take it. And the beautiful part of it is we're sick, 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 and we'll never get well. Who the hell cares? They're forever thinking they got the cancer cure. They're forever thinking they got a way to fix heart. And number three is us, and there's no way they're going to cure us. And Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't claim they can cure it, that they can arrest it. And that's pretty neat. Now, where can the other two people go? We can go to AA and arrest the third worst disease known to the medical profession. But for God's sake, you never heard of Hearts Anonymous, have you? One good dance, a barbecue, and that coffee would kill half our members. can you imagine in your remotest imagination a bunch of people sitting around and we're talking about the third worst killer in the medical profession and we're laughing our prat off over it? That was pretty good night before I got here. Well, that's marvelous. That's wonderful. And one more thing about our disease of alcoholism, it's the only disease known in the world that carries with it a jail sentence. If some of you folks are new and you decide to go out on a little campaign, you tell the cop when he picks you up for drunk driving, you can't arrest me, sir, I'm sick. You see how far back in the pokey that gets you. Never heard of a guy, cop coming up to a guy on the street and saying, you got diabetes? Well, you come down to the diabetes tank. And when you stop to realize it, how lucky can you get that we got here that is alcoholics unanimous? Sir. And that's what it is. Unanimous. We're all together. We're licking the hell out of the third worst disease known to them. Now there's another area that I should like to speak on very briefly. Very briefly we jump off of this quick. And that's the insane cuckoo department. Where we're number three in the medical department, in the cuckoo department, we're number two. And bet we tried harder. Lord, didn't we? Number one is a very violent social disease. It starts with S. That's the one that makes your nose loose. And I honestly feel that if they had been sober, they wouldn't have caught that. However, pretty fringy in the head when we get here. And pretty fringy in the head when we stay here quite a while. Now then, there's another area that you'll hear when you talk to your sponsor, when you go to meetings, when you're visiting with other AAs, that you have to reach some kind of an end of the line. You have to be no good in one department or maybe all the departments. You have to be no good. Family, your business, your friends, no good. You have to get as low as you possibly can before you can be helped. So that's why I'm proud to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, because here's why. It's the only organization in the world that you have to be almost dead, pretty near nuts, and no damn good to get in it. And you hear all the statistics. Why 50% come and never drink again? 25 come in, drink, come back. The other 25 we don't know about. There's no other way to go than up when we get here if we're really an alcoholic. And you have to laugh your way up, thank God. Now, if you're new and you're worried about some of your joker friends that still drink, and they'll come up and say, well, what's the matter, Sam? Aren't you going to have a drink? You can get a long face and say, no, I'm sick. Or you can say, well, no, I'm an alcoholic. You say, what the hell does that mean? It means if I take a drink, I'll pick up the sheriff, I'll kill you. Thing to contemplate. And it's a nice thing for most of us to know that alcoholics does not want nice people. We want rotten people. They're almost dead, pretty crazy, and worthless. Those are our people.
You're having dinner with somebody, they drink a half a martini and say, waiter, will you take this away? I'm hungry.
Forget them.
We want the little rat that goes around the table drinking what's left in all the glasses. Cigarette butts and all. Those are our people. There's still a lot of them out there.
We went through the lion's den last night. Ran out of pamphlets, didn't we, Fred? There's a lot of work to be done here in the city. Three of them got pretty sick. We were eating ice cream. 1:30. God, it's wonderful. It is such a sensational program. It's just almost unbelievable, isn't it? Now, in Alcoholics Anonymous, another odd thing will appear. First from your sponsor, then from the podium, then for the rest of your life, you keep hearing, don't take the first drink. The first drink is much too simple for the mighty mind of the alcoholic to comprehend. You tell them, don't think it's the first drink. He said, why? He said, to make it drunk. He said, what the hell do you think I took it for? Well, you've got a problem, child. Get away from him. Get him a new sponsor. You know what a sponsor is? A sponsor is somebody that tells you what to do that they should be doing themselves. While we're on this sponsorship, I found out early in Alcoholics Anonymous that you can't be all things to all people. For God's sake, if you're fairly new, don't try. It's an impossibility. Now, when I first got here, I wanted to do everything. I wanted to tear down the beer signs. I wanted to 12-step everybody that had it on his breath. I wanted to do the whole bit. And I could not 12-step. I was a kiss of death. I carried the diseases. And the first three people that I crossed them, two of them died naturally and the other was a suicide. So if there's anyone in this area that you really hate, I'll cross-step them and we'll get them. But to be a little serious, you cannot be all things to all people. In Alcoholics Anonymous, in my opinion, you have got to do the thing you do best. And you have got to keep yourself comfortable, because your job and my job, first off, is to obtain and maintain sobriety. And you've got to do it comfortably, you've got to do it happily. And it goes a lot easier. Some people are past masters. I could get such a resentment at the central office of the beautiful women in this audience tonight. You think I ever got a call from the central office to go out and see a charming lady? Never. They sent me out on those old men that had been in that bed for 3 days. And I took one whiff, got a half a pint, and cussed. No, it's not easy. So relax and be comfortable. There's a thing we say a lot. You see it in a lot of cars. Easy does it. Believe me, it works better that way. Easy does it. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing about Bill W., our first president. I felt good about Bill when I first got in, because Alcoholics Anonymous was started by some people that couldn't drink either. It was a great joy to me to know that Alcoholics Anonymous was not started by a bunch of social workers that looked down their nose with their PhDs after their names and said, I think this would be good for them. Not a bit. Alcoholics Anonymous was started by a guy that couldn't keep his feet on the stock market. That's the thing you buy. He lost his
seat on the starting good. Was started by that guy, a disbarred doctor, and a crooked nun. And I liked that by George when I heard it. I'll polish my Masonic pin about that. Bill was in the hospital for the umpteenth time, and he heard Dr. Silkworth say to Lois, if this cat comes in here for boozing again, I don't know, but what, we'll have to take him out in the pine box. He didn't like that. None of us liked it, did we? But you know what happened to Bill? He ran around in that ward with all those other alcoholics, telling them what a nut he'd been when he was drinking. And after about 3 days, he found I didn't want to drink for 3 days, which was unusual in Bill's case, and he went down to Dr. Silkworth and said, Dr. Silkworth, I've been running around in the ward up there telling the people what a nut I've been when I drink and what booze does for me, and I haven't wanted to drink for about 2 or 3 days. And Dr. Silkworth, bless his heart, looked Bill W. in the eye and said, I'll be damned. Now that's the medical part of AA, friend. Any good doctor, if he isn't a member, will look you in the eye and say, I'll be damned and get away from you. That's great. Now, I'm going to briefly tell you how I first heard about AA. I was working on a show, a very big popular show those days. And I still remember. I suppose a lot of you don't. Oh. It was called Queen for a Day. Yes, that was it. And I'd been boozing for quite a while, but not really bad. None of us were really bad, were we? I was getting by real good. Fall off the stage, but, you know. And one morning, about 8 o'clock, I was taking a little nip there at Earl Carroll's. And a clean old man that worked on the show walked by and said, you just going to have the one? And I didn't like that. And I said, well, I had a B1 last night, and it always makes my hands swell. And I'm just having this one so I don't shake my head off. And he looked at me with, I thought, pity at the big star sitting there. And he said, if you ever want to do anything about your drinking, and you better the way it's going, you give me a call. Now, that was a big mistake he made that day. But he saved my life. The mistake he made was saying it to me because I had to, as any red-blooded alcoholic would do, have him fired immediately. Right. Get rid of him. He went out, got a nice job. He's been very wealthy ever since. So in true alcoholic fashion, I fixed him. But he was out. But he did a thing that we don't realize that we do. He planted a seed. I don't think a lot of us realize that we plant seeds just walking around sober. Scared the hell out of our friends for a while. He said, what's the matter with Ray? He didn't show up on me today. But he planted a seed. And one morning, it was Sunday, nobody in the house, and there was enough liquor in there to start a liquor locker, and I decided to see how long I could go in the morning without a drink. Did you hear that? Well, it's okay if you heard it. Let me get out of here. This place is haunted. Anyway, I was walking around that house, and I didn't have the shakes in the morning, ever. I had the leash. And I was leaping around that house like a jackass. And like you, and like I, and like every other alcoholic, I was blaming the leash on the coffee. too strong. Drank it too fast. That stuff that every time. Couldn't get my breath because I'd inhaled too deep. I remember I went outside to put my arm around the post on the porch and took a big breath of air. Woo! That like that killed me. And I'm probably naked, so I went back in. Incidentally, I found out after I'd been sober 6 weeks, we don't have a post on the porch. There we go. So finally, in desperation, and I feel, I know in my case, a message from upstairs, the real guy up here, the old, clean old man from Greenford Days' face flashed in my mind. And a little collie. He told me to. So I called him and I said, I'm near death's door. I can hear the angels rustling now. And I am scared out of my birds. What can I do? And he said, do you think you're an alcoholic? And I said, I know it. And he said, good. Everybody in town knows it. Now it's unanimous. And I didn't like that too well. So I said, well, don't kid about it, because I'm going to die. And any minute now. With any luck, I'll be dead by noon. Jesus, I'm going crazy. And he said, go out in the kitchen and take a drink. And I thought, we got him hallucinating on the phone. And I said, don't get the cute. What should I do? And he said, I mean it. Go out to the kitchen and take a drink. Your head's rattling so I can't hear you on the phone, and I'll be over and talk to you. Now, that's the first time I liked AA. And I hung that phone up and went right out and did as I was ordered. And I had a drink, like all alcoholics. Let the recording show I held up two fingers. So, by George, I went back in the front room, and like every other alcoholic in this joint and any other, I thought, as the booze hit bottom, that was a good thing you did, Jack. Really was. You called that man, and you're a great guy for doing that, and, you know, my heart started. Birds were singing, and I thought, well, why not? I called him, and some clever things, probably like, you can't fly on one wing. And I said, I believe I will, and I did. Went out and had another. Well, by then, I was doing pretty good. You know, four good stiff belts after you tried not to. And I was feeling pretty good. Look in the mirror there, not so bad. Well, that one eye may open later, but that is good. So I screamed around there a little while. The doorbell rang, and there was my Irish friend that I'd called, sniveling, half hour before. And I opened the door and said, come on in. Glad to see you. You want to tell me what you got on your mind? If I like it, I may buy it, I may not. Oh, my God. I shall forever be thankful that I picked the wrong Irishman to say that to, because he said to me, you remember this. You need us. But, brother, we don't need you. Now, that hurt. But after the second two belts, I figured they're going to be present by the end of the week. And then he came in and he started telling me his problem, forgetting that I had called. Now, one of the first things he told me about, he used to live in the chicken house. Well, God, I was sorry to hear about that, isn't it? Here, I'm dying, ready to go to my father, and he's telling me about living in a chicken house. Well, the hell with him, and I heard somebody at the back door and went out, and there was nobody out there. And I came back in and got a little more of the chicken house, and I heard the phone ring upstairs. It went upstairs. There's no phone up there. About the fifth trip, he said, Jack, why don't you bring the bottle in here? And old dumb Jack, I said, how did you know?
said, because I'm one, too. A magic word, by George. That's when I knew, thank God, it takes a thief to catch a thief. It takes a drunk to catch a drunk. And we discussed with great joy where you hid bottles. I thought he was a neat guy. He knew six or seven places I didn't know. We didn't talk about it. Think about all the things. Now, not over 6 weeks before that, a doctor had said, Jack, if you don't quit drinking, you're going to die. And I said, did you find anything? He said, no. And I said, give me my pen. And I went down to the Plaza Bar and held my own wake with everybody that would sing. We sang, I'm waiting for ships that never come in. I cried like hell. And Chick, you'd love this. I had them all hum, and I sang the lyrics to Now Is the Hour When I Must Say Goodbye. And I cried. And I looked up, and all the wakers were gone home. But I went down and got drunk over the fact the doctor said you're going to die. But here's a cat that lived in the chicken house because he drank too much and was telling me where to hide bottles, and I loved every minute. And he told me about the 12 steps. And he told me to just take the first one and give the other 11 away. And to keep it simple. And you're going to feel better starting tomorrow. And there's hope and there's promise and self-respect. Well, that's it. Cornstarch. And I began to like that. Didn't mind the chicken house at all. And then he said the terrible thing to me. He said, now we'll go to a meeting. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, we'll go down to an AA meeting. That's what we do. And we'll see how you like it. And I told a bunch of people that belong to AA. And he said, that's who goes to the AA meeting. And I said, all right, I'll go. But I don't really think I dare that I'm a very big star and they'll recognize me. And he said, Jack, who in the name of God is going to recognize you from radio? I hadn't known it, but we weren't on TV at the time. I thought we were. Anyway, I said, I'll go with you. Gladly. But I won't use my name. And he said, fine, pick another. That's all a drunk needs, right? Oh, God, I worked on that for 10 minutes. And I came up with the worst name you could have. Jim Bartell. That's kind of a bleh, right? If you're going to get a new name, you should pick one Sylvester Ashmead. Chauncey, or something. Jesus, Jim Bartell. So that's fine. On the way over to the North Hollywood meeting, I had this poor patient soul. The only two of us in the car, and he had to introduce me as Jim Bartell to the steering wheel all the way over to the meeting. Oh, God. We got in the meeting. I didn't know it. He did. I stayed in the bushes till just at 8:30, and we went in. I'm going to give him the Jim Bartell handshake, and the lights went out. All the lights go out at North Hollywood. Nobody asked me who the hell I was. Don't remember too much about the meeting except the man that was talking, when he had been a little boy, he hadn't had any tennis shoes. And I felt sorry about that, and as do-gooder, I got up and started to offer him some tennis shoes. And I got such a karate chop in the gut, boy. I don't think he ever got them. Anyway, we went through the meeting, and I don't know what happened with his tennis shoes, but I noticed that the word amen, when we got to the of the amen of the Lord's Prayer, I was back out in the bush. Nobody ever knew Jim was there. Nobody seemed to care. And the only time I could have ever used the name, I blew it. I was decided by them that I would go to a sanitarium. And on the way down to the sanitarium, we had to go down Hollywood Boulevard. And I forgot my AA name, and all the way down Hollywood Boulevard, at the top of my voice, I was yelling, I'm Jack Billy, I'm an alcoholic going to a sanitarium! We got there. And when we got there, I'd had the guy promise he'd give me a drink. And he did. And it
table was about like where the podium is, and there was a Davenport right there. And he brought me the drink, and I looked over at the clean old man that had driven me down there, and I started to cry again. I could cry. I was good. Really. Cry. I looked at him and started to cry and said, there's the only man that stuck to me in my time of need. He stood by me. He is my friend. It's making you kind of sick. And I want him to be the first guy in all the world to see me turn down a drink. Take it away. He did. And with that, the dearest old friend I ever had in all my life, out the back door. And I watched him go off into the sunset, and I turned around, and there's a guy 8 feet tall in a white coat. Was standing looking down at me, and he put out this sanitarium arm. You perhaps remember it, some of you, and he said, we're going upstairs, aren't we? And I looked at him, and I said, God, I believe we are. So we went upstairs, and when we got in my room, this big tall guy says, now take off all your clothes. And I thought, oh, God, he's got that Queen Brunet thing mixed up. But he was big, and I was weak and sick. And I took off my clothes, and he gave me some paper shoes, the worst-fitting shoes you ever saw. Only half shoes anyway. You had to shove your feet in them. And they turned up on the end like Emmett Kelly clown shoes. Gave me a nightgown that fit worse than the shoes. And he put it on backward. I had to walk in it. And they had those strings in the back that you tie. Well, he didn't tie them. And there I stood with the shoes in the front and the dangling things in the back. And there was a mirror over my dresser, and I sidled over, and you have all talked and heard about reaching your bottom. I saw mine. And that's the sight I don't care to go through again either. And I thought, I'm going to tell this guy something or other about the way he's treating me up here, and when I turned around, he was gone. He'd seen it too and hated it. So I thought I would go out and tell him in the hall. And I went over at the door, and there was no knob on my fire door. Whew. Now, isn't it great? I don't have to ever see that again, as long as I don't take the first drink. By George, we got it made if we don't take the first drink. What a great thing it is. Now, I'm going to speak very briefly on a certain subject that will be handled much better tomorrow morning. This, with me, Chuck, is where the chairs start to scrape, and everybody coughs, and they drum on their old lady's shoulders, because I'm going to get into the spiritual part of AA. Spiritual side, it's called. And I said that once from a podium, and the guy came up after the meeting, and he said, you mentioned spiritual side of Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, glad you were listening, friend. I certainly did. And he said, what other side is there? And that's a long time ago, and I haven't been able to answer that. Now, I want you to know that I am here tonight as an authority. You ready? An authority on religion. Now that has absolutely nothing to do with Alcoholics Anonymous, nothing to do with the spiritual part of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I am an authority. She didn't move her car. With my luck, they'll drive right down the middle aisle. And get me. You want to hear about religion or not? You're going to hear it anyhow. And it's short. Now, what happened was I was born in Iowa in a very small town.
by very devout Methodist parents. I did not inherit booze or being an alcoholic. My mother was the state president of the WCTU. We didn't have no booze at our house. And my maiden name is John Wesley. You can't get any more Methodist-y than that. John Wesley from Hampton, Iowa. And all I heard as a boy, and I'm not belittling my mother, she meant it, it helped her. But all she ever said was, thou shalt not. Don't.
God, Watson, what you doing? God knows what you're doing out behind the barn.
And I knocked that off for a couple of days. But anyway, I was spooked by God. I thought he was somebody up there chiseling on a marble tablet everything I stole from the Sunday school collection and everything else. And I was scared of him. I didn't hate him. I didn't wait long enough. I don't remember when I started drinking. I know I led a sheltered life up until about 7. But I was spooked by God. And when I got in Alcoholics Anonymous, I found just exactly the opposite. Now, in modern times, it seems that a lot of people are worried about the word God, G-O-D. Now, don't be. If you're fairly new on the program and you're an atheist, please be a good atheist, but be a sober atheist. And keep coming back. And we'll get you. But if you keep coming back long enough, you'll want to be God. And that's the healthy way. But don't let the three-letter word bother you. There is no Claude God above keeping track. Or if you're a woman lived, there's no Myrtle God up there. But your life became unmanageable. My life became unmanageable. We couldn't cut it. We were blowing it right and left, and it was getting worse and worse. And mine was a clean old man. Yours could have been a clean old lady. But the spirit of something got us here. And there is one word you don't have to thank God. You don't have to thank Myrtle. But you do, I think, in your heart of hearts, when you're all through at the end of a day, say one little word if you've made it through a day of sobriety, and that word is thanks. You don't have to thank anybody or anything, but when the lights are out and you're alone, and you're feeling kind of good inside because you made it again, just say thanks. And when you get the word thanks out, that'll leave room for a lot more good to come back in. I have a couple little prayers that I use, and I learned them in AA, and they're short. In my opinion, God has an enormous sense of humor. He's killed us all. He's got to have a big love for alcoholics for the lives we've led, for heaven's sake. You've got to believe in it. But I heard a prayer when I first got here that I have used and will always use. And it's a simple prayer with humor. This guy said, I got up every morning of my life. And I say, God, don't you and I get into any trouble today that you can't get me out of. And that's great. There's another guy came home, he's a member of AA, he'd worked hard all day, and he was tired, and he had to get some sleep, but he was going to be worse the next day. And he said, God, I'm pooped. I got to get some sleep tonight. I can't worry about tomorrow. If I do, I won't be able to sleep. I did the best I could today, and that's all you've ever asked me to do, one day at a time, and I did the best I could today. And if I don't get some sleep, I'll blow it tomorrow, so I'm going to give all my worries to you, God, and I'm going to sleep because you're going to be up all night anyway. And you know what's the truth? In my personal opinion, God considers alcoholics something special. I use the word God, and I love the word God. And I know that God got us here, and God's going to keep us here, and that we have a little some kind of a light or a lightness, a little extra peace in our hearts because of a special love that is in every AA meeting. So I hope that when we go to our homes, when wherever they are, and you go to bed and you think, I enjoyed the conference, I had a good time, I love AA, thank you, God. I hope and I know that you'll turn the light of love in your heart up just a little brighter. And isn't that wonderful? And we can live happily ever after.